So while the rest of us were putting the final bits of detail on our Halloween costumes last October, John Corzine, the former head of investment firm MF Global, was apparently getting the fright of his life.
I was stunned when I was told on Sunday, October 30th, 2011, that MF Global could not count for many hundreds of millions of dollars of client money.
$1.2 billion, to be exact. The New Jersey Democrat was speaking yesterday on Capitol Hill. He became the first former U.S. senator to be subpoenaed by Congress in more than a century. During his testimony, Corzine repeatedly apologized to investors and customers, saying he never ordered any movement of money out of client accounts. The money is still unaccounted for. Joining us now for more is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And Ryan Davies is an investment advisor who's done business in the past with MF Global. Ryan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
First, to both of you, I mean, that was just astounding to see Corzine, speaking in that tone in front of that that congressional committee. Louise?
Well, to see him there at all is unusual. You know, it's the first senator who's been hauled before Congress in like 100 years. And it was really awkward. I don't know if you saw, there was one lawmaker who said to him, "I don't know, what do I call you, governor? Do I call you senator?" And then Corzine kind of muttered, "Well, there are a lot of people who have a lot of bad names for me."
Yeah, and some of them in the financial community, Ryan Davies, he's a guy who makes bad bets, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, he's truly guilty of excessive risk-taking. I think any implications of him doing anything nefarious in the sense that that he was defrauding people on purpose, I think is blown out of proportion. But the fact is that he was an excessive risk-taker.
Well, before we talk about the risk-taking for a minute, I mean, much of what Congress was focused on in that hearing yesterday was whether the failure of MF Global represented regulators being asleep at the switch or something that is fundamentally unregulated. Ryan Davies, what do you think?
I think the fundamentally the regulators did not do their job. The fact is that there's plenty of avenues to take additional risk outside of the U.S. Domains, but through affiliates in the U.K. or Europe. But this is common practice. And, if the regulators were truly looking out for the best interests of American investors or global investors, for that matter, they did not do their job in cutting that off.
It's Ryan Davies, who's an investment advisor. He's done business in the past with MF Global. Louise Story, what do you think the regulator story is here? They missed it, or this is a domain that is fundamentally still unregulated?
No, the regulator story is that this is a patchwork of regulation. When you look at these small brokerages like MF Global, there's other ones like Jefferies out there, and they don't have a single regulator who looks at their whole picture. So, you know, they've got the CME, which is
Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
That's right, which was appointed to oversee the futures business of MF Global. But then you have FINRA, which is appointed to oversee some of the equities business. And you have this patchwork. There are, by one count, I counted like five or six different regulatory and self-regulatory arms that played a role in looking at MF Global, and no one looking at the whole picture.
You know, your paper, Louise, has done an incredible job sort of extending the MF Global demise to also be a bit of a portrait of Corzine himself in action. Ryan Davies, what's the sort of buzz about Corzine? Did he bring this down out of hubris in making these bets? Is there something about his personal style that may have failed MF Global here?
Maybe a bit of a God complex. He fancied himself a trader, and I think that he didn't manage the downside. And net on net, it was a good trade. They would have made a lot of money on this trade, but it was the variable in market confidence that he did not factor into this equation.
And basically, he bet that Europe was going to not get into the trouble that it's in now that we've actually reported on also this morning. He was betting that Europe was going to easily solve this problem of the Eurozone debt crisis, and that, of course, didn't happen. Louise Story, let's talk about the $1.2 billion. How do you lose it? Where could it possibly be? And if Corzine doesn't know where it is, who does?
Well, there are strict rules around how you use customer money. But what seems to be emerging is a storyline that in MF Global's final days, it was chaotic. Customers were pulling money out. MF Global was getting margin called on its own bets on Europe. And the money got shuffled around and used for something we still don't know what. Now, what was very interesting yesterday was Corzine was point blank asked, did you authorize using that customer money for MF Global's purposes? Because that's what you're not supposed to do. And he didn't directly answer it. He just said he didn't intend to break any rules. So it kind of sounded like you know, maybe he's trying to act like he wasn't aware what the rules were, or, you know, he was very vague.
Let's talk about the chaos for a moment, and which might explain the vagueness here. It's difficult to get into in just 2 minutes, but still, when a company is falling apart like this, we found it out with AIG that certain people came to the table and said, "Pay me now," and that we found that, like Goldman Sachs and some folks, got made good on collateralized debt obligations in those tense moments before AIG went bankrupt. Is it possible that somebody got paid here who just was first in line in those hours before MF Global went down?
That always happens. Same thing with Lehman Brothers. You know, the people, the firms out there that more aggressively demand collateral and have more weight in the market often can get more out of a failing company. Now, once it declares bankruptcy, okay, the court is supposed to look across all the different contracts and figure out a fair and equitable distribution.
But financial institutions understand that before that bankruptcy is declared, it's a little bit of a Wild West show, right?
Oh, first in line. I mean, they're all running up. And unfortunately, in the financial markets, that can propel further panic. Mm. The fact that counterparties and other banks and hedge funds know, oh, this thing may go down, I got to get my money, it can make it self-fulfilling. And that's been a common storyline in the financial crisis.
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Ryan Davies, do you buy the chaos line, or do you think somebody walked off with the money?
I do buy the chaos line. The week leading up to the bankruptcy, I'm sure, was very hectic, and you had a mad rush for the exits. And so it's going to affect your underlying capabilities to hold the risky positions in their portfolio.
Well, we're learning more about MF Global and its demise. John Corzine testifying yesterday before a House committee. Ryan Davies did business with MF Global. Louise Story joined us. We leave you with an apology from John Corzine yesterday.
Once again, let me go back to where I started. And I mean this with all sincerity. I apologize, both personally and on behalf of the company, to our customers, our employees, and our investors.
John Corzine on Capitol Hill.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.